Malachim Beis, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Tes. Vayehi Bashana Harviyis LaMelech Hizkiyahu. And so it was in the fourth year of King Hizkiyah, he, Hashana HaShaviyis LaHoshea Ben Ela Melech Yisrael, which corresponds with the seventh year of Hoshea Ben Ela, who we have met before, the King of Israel, Allah Shalman Eser Melech Ashur Al Shomron. Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, came up against Samaria, Vayotzar Oleho, and he besieged it. So what the Nach is doing now is retelling briefly everything that happened in Perek Yud Zayin about the destruction of Malchus Yisrael. We know the story, but we're contrasting Hoshea, who remained wicked until his absolute destruction, and Chizkiyah, who dedicates himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is going to be saved from the exact same enemy, Shalmaneser Melech Ashur. And neither one of them, Yisrael or Yehuda, had the military strength naturally to withstand this threat. But nevertheless, it's a tremendous moment for Yehuda, who does the right thing, and an absolute destruction for Yisrael that did the wrong thing. Yud vayilkeduha miktzei shalosh shanim. And so Shalmaneser and his nation and his army conquered the Malchus Yisrael in the at the end of 3 years, at the Kates, at the end of 3 years, Bishna Shesh Lechizkiyah. In the sixth year of Chizkiyah, Hishnas Teisha LaHoshea Melech Yisrael, which is the ninth year of Hoshea Melech Yisrael. So normally, if you add 4 to 3, you get 7. And if you add 7 to 3, you'll get 10. But in this case, we say that it was in the middle of the reign of the sixth year of Chizkiyah. Although it took 3 full years, but it went from early in 1 year of the reign to early in the following one, as we do the math. Nilkeda Shomron, and the city of Shomron was conquered. So we know already from the past, Perek, in Yud Zayin, that there was no chance. So Radak actually says, Mitchila Shana Shlishis. So because of the math problem that I just had, I'm not so good at math, but as long as we're under 10, I have enough fingers to try to get the job done. So the Radak says it's not at the end of 3 years, it's the beginning of the third year. Like Miketz Sheva Shanim, it talks about how a servant should be set free at the commencement of the seventh year rather than the end. Or Miketz Sheva Shanim Ta'aseh Shemitah. Shemitah doesn't start at the end of the seventh year, it starts at the beginning of the seventh year. So Miktzei, rather than Kates, rather than the end, means the Katsa, the edge, the first edge that you hit of the third year. So apologies for my slight mistranslation a moment ago. So now, Yidala Vayegel Melech Ashur Es Yisrael Ashura. Vayegel is an interesting phrase. The Radak, who does diktuk every so often, because he wrote a separate diktuk sefer, says, Mibinyan Hifil Yegel, instead of Vayegal. He sent out into exile. He exiled Besegel, he says. So the king of Ashur exiled the Malchus Yisrael to Ashur. Vayanchem, and he settled them, Bachlach in Chalach, Uvechavor, Nahar Gozan, the Orei Modai, and the cities of Modai, the Gozan River, Chavor, places that we actually mentioned earlier when we were talking about the exile. So this repetition not only shows us a contrast between Yisrael and Yehuda, it also shows us that Chizkiyahu himself is unsure how to react to the threat of Ashur. Sometimes he seems to back off of his open rebelliousness, because we said already that in his great enthusiasm and religious rebirth of Yehuda, he also morad by yimrod b'melech Ashur, we said back in Pasuk Zion. So it's important to note that it wasn't one constant rebellion. It was back and forth, kind of a little forward, a little back, afraid that maybe it's a divine punishment. He was afraid, the Me'am Lo'eh suggests, that Yerushalayim might be destroyed like Shomron, which is why we mentioned the destruction of the capital city at the end of Pasuk Yud, because he thought perhaps Yerushalayim will be destroyed the same way. After withstanding a siege for almost 3 years, it was conquered and destroyed in the end anyway. So the horrible suffering, as we just learned on Tisha B'Av and Eicha, of what happens when there's a terrible siege of a walled city like we saw, might be better to surrender and take away the risk of total destruction. If Hashem has determined that we're going to be punished by Ashur, resisting Hashem's decision would only make things worse. But we're going to see that Sancheriv is going to be so determined to absolutely destroy Yechezkel and Yehuda no matter what, then he resisted again. He was unsure Hashem would necessarily save them, but he was certain that it wasn't the divine will that he allow Sancheriv to have his way. So Shalmaneser is one. We mentioned that there's a change of dynasties in the middle of all this. Sancheriv is, a, as they say in the Wizard of Oz, a horse of a different color. So we're going to see that as we go, and we are going to see exactly the reason. Well, actually, we could say it now. It's pretty quick. Yud Beis, Al Asher Lo Shamu B'Kol Hashem Eloheihem Vayavru Es Bariso. Why was it that Shomron and Yisrael got destroyed? For the simple reason, short version, they did not listen to the words, the voice of Hashem, their God. They transgressed His covenant. Eis Kol Asher Tziva Moshe Eved Hashem. They did every Avera against everything that Moshe had commanded us. Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't say Moshe Gedolenu, Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher. V'lo shamu, v'lo asu. And they didn't listen, and they didn't observe, they didn't do. And so, they were absolutely destroyed. That's a major contrast against Chizkiah, as we're going to see.